We've got Alex Coit, we've got Neve Billing, and we've got Ray Charlo, who are all interns who has started with us on about the 25th of November last year, so I've been with us for nearly 8 months. They're just going to talk a little bit about their personal journey in terms of sight loss, deciding what to study, deciding kind of what to do after study, and applying for these internships and what they've kind of meant for them. And then we'll have some time for Q&A at the end. So we decided to be very democratic, and we've done it alphabetically through Christian names. So welcome Alex Coit, who is coming from Auckland University today. Is that right, Alex?
Big empty lecture theatre, so it's the largest theatre in the uni, and it happened to be booked and not used for this hour. So if anyone comes in, I look really crazy, talking to myself in a big room, but that's okay. So my journey with sight loss, I have RP, and I started to notice some vision changes around. Well, I didn't actually notice, but around 11, my teachers picked up that I was struggling to see the board a bit more. And then in my mid-teens, it got worse quite quickly. And by the age of late teens, 20, I was legally blind. Right around when I was deciding what to do at university and with my future, I wanted to study science, and I was really passionate about genetics. I had some discouragement from one or two people at the uni thinking it might not be the best avenue to take, not the most accessible, but I persevered and was lucky enough to know somebody else that was vision impaired and doing cancer research that motivated me to go ahead. And I did my undergraduate in biological sciences, postgraduate diploma, master's and PhD in biomedical science, and came out as a doctor in blood cancer genetics, so I showed them. But after my PhD, finding my first job, there are a bunch of employment barriers when you're trying to find a job and you're legally blind. And I was really grateful to know about the graduate internship scheme at BLVNZ. It enabled us to bring our experience, our background, and they would tailor work to our strengths to give us useful career experience, and whether we continue on with BLVNZ or choose to use that elsewhere, it was an amazing opportunity to get that first outside of uni experience. I have done a range of different projects leveraging my background in research and data analyses. So some projects for CERA in looking into education and employment outcomes for education employment outcomes for people who are blind and low vision of working age. And my second project was in developing a questionnaire or a means of evaluating the impacts of sport and leisure services on wellness of clients. And then at the moment, I am doing a project for guide dogs to see if there's any patterns in the withdrawal data, why they've had to withdraw from training, or service, and possibly whether there's any genetic links there, that could guide their breeding program. And that's pretty exciting. I'm pretty impressed that they managed to sneak in a genetics-based project. Is that kind of everything you wanted covered, Sarah, or is there other?
That's great. So just really about a little bit about what you've done, and also what are you going to do after this? So I guess what does this mean, the year that you've had with us, and what's your next phase of your life, Alex?
So when I was applying for the internship, I was also setting up a research unit at the University of Auckland, and that was contingent on research funding, as research always is. And I wasn't sure how long that was going to take to get, but fortunately, I got a large sum 3 weeks into the internship. So I've been continuing to have those experiments running in the background and setting up this research unit that I'm hoping to come back to. And so at the end of August, I'll be doing the last 3 months of this internship program, in that research unit, and it'll really set me up for my career going forward as an early career scientist. We are researching the genetics of eye conditions. So for those people who have gone and had their DNA sequencing done and it hasn't confirmed what is causing their eye condition, I'll be taking those prickly cases and running some more deep kind of coding to figure out what the causative mutation is. That gives people answers, and understanding, and it also opens up room for treatment, because once you understand the mechanism that's causing the disease, we can either apply treatments that exist or develop treatments. So yeah, the first one is diagnosing patients with eye conditions. The second arm of the project is developing gene therapies, which use viruses to deliver good copies of genes to counteract the mutations that are causing them, or sometimes the viruses carry reagents that can actually go in there and edit the gene to either knock out the mutation or correct it, again, just allowing the normal function of those to slow disease, stop disease, and hopefully in some cases reverse vision loss. So that's pretty exciting. And to do that, we are establishing some large animal models of retinitis pigmentosa using sheep, so that we can test the therapies in animals that are translatable to humans, because mice and rats and fish aren't that translatable when it comes to developing therapies. So the internship scheme has given me some skills in, I learned to, JAWS. I've had data analyses outside of science, which has challenged me. And you're always learning things with different projects, and I'll bring all of that back into my research. And I hope that I have an ongoing relationship with BRVNZ, whether it's with other data analysis and research projects, staying in touch or supervising some students to look into the genetics of guide dogs, things like that. It's given me a really great foundation to set myself up, but I also want to continue that relationship going forward.
Thanks, Alex. And tell me just quickly, and then we'll get on to Neve. What would you say if we've got someone sitting here who wants to do genetics and they maybe talk to someone, or they want to do science or whatever, and they're told, oh, you can't, you're blind? Because that still does sometimes happen. What would you say to that? What would your reframe be to them to push back?
I would say whatever you are passionate about, follow that, and you will find an accessible route to do that. So I'm doing science, but it's all computer based and coding based, and I never thought I'd be coding. I'm not someone who's just always been a tech whiz. It's something I made happen, and it can be done. So yeah, whatever you're passionate in, I say chase that and find an accessible way to do that, because it's important to love what you do. And then also I would say try, see what else is out there in terms of, you might be surprised if you look into whether there are other blind or low vision people doing some of these roles or following these same passions that you're in, and maybe they are somebody you could reach out to, or even just knowing that other people are doing it might give you the motivation to go, yeah, no, I can do it. See, like other people are doing it too. So I think there's not enough like easy access to knowing what role models are out there, but I think BRVNZ is trying to increase that. But yeah, I would say look for other people that are doing similar things, if you need that extra inspiration. But otherwise, follow your passions and find a way to make it accessible for where you and your vision are at.
Thanks, Alex. And I just to reiterate, I think there we spend a lot of our life working, so it's not about finding a job that you can do, because that makes it for a very miserable 40 years of your life. As Alex said, find something that you're passionate about and you'll never work a day in your life. Great. Okay. Neve, who is in Christchurch, welcome.
Yeah.
Hi everyone, I'm Neve Billing. I am down in the Christchurch office. I'm in the community and inclusion team, which has been really, really cool. So to start with, my vision loss story. I lost my sight when I was 5. I have optic neuritis secondary to encephalitis, so swelling of the brain that caused damage to my optic nerve, and yeah, was left with the same vision that I have today. So a lack of central vision in both eyes, disparities between the amount of vision in both eyes, and yeah, just fuzziness, double vision, all that good stuff. So I did pretty much all of my schooling with my visual impairment, and was always encouraged to kind of follow my interests in the arts, drama, dance, that sort of thing, because it was much easier to make those accessible for me versus something like biology or physics or anything like that. So that was kind of the path that I naturally went down. And after leaving high school, I went up to Wellington to study theatre, and absolutely hated university. So I came back down here, moved back home, and for the next couple of years, I worked in a couple of different industries. I first studied to become a personal trainer and worked as a personal trainer for about 2 years, and really enjoyed that, and then decided I wanted a regular paycheck, so went into retail. And I had been doing that for the last few years until I decided that I wanted to be able to progress in a career, and I also really wanted to study and get some formal education. So looked into study options. I was definitely going to be staying in Christchurch, so it was either University of Canterbury or UTA. And both of those were quite out of the way for me, transport wise, and then also getting around campuses was never my favorite thing. So I looked into it and decided to study with Open Polytechnic, so that I could study the entire degree online. And I'm really, really glad I made that decision. It was definitely the right thing for me. I managed to get really involved while I was studying with a lot of different groups. We were setting up within Open Polytechnic a group to support accessibility and inclusivity. That was a combination of staff and students, so I was a part of that for the entire time that I was studying. And got involved with some work that Te Pukenga was doing, which unfortunately Te Pukenga no longer exists. So that work all kind of fell into the ether, but that's okay. It was really enjoyable to do at the time. So just working with other disabled students to make sure that systems and distance learning, everything involved with studying at Polytechs or online, was accessible to a wide range of people with disabilities. And I also got involved with the National Disabled Students Association and ended up being on their executive team for my last, I think, 8 months of studying. So that was last year, right up until I started working at Blind Low Vision. And I absolutely loved, excuse me, that work. It was really, really rewarding, and it was an excellent way to get to know other disabled students, get an idea of the wider disability advocacy space, and just a good opportunity to actually meet and get to work with other students, because obviously studying online through Open Polytechnic is fairly isolated. You're not really getting to meet many of your classmates or any at all. So it was a really good opportunity. So I started studying in 2022 and finished about this time last year, with my bachelor's in business, majoring in human resource management. And I was looking for work in human resources, but I was very much open to anything that kind of branched off from that. And someone from NDSA sent me through the job listing for the graduate intern program with the LVNZ, and I thought it seemed like a really cool opportunity to continue working in the disability advocacy space, but also getting to really apply my expert knowledge of what it is to have a visual impairment. And yeah, I was lucky enough to be successful, and from the start I was really hopeful that I would get to stay on working here. I absolutely love the work. I'm getting to use skills that I learnt during my study, but I'm also getting to do something that I'm passionate about, which is getting people outside of the disability community to be more aware of vision loss and what it means to be low vision or blind. And yeah, I've been lucky enough to, as of a week ago, become a permanent staff member. So I'm now the community awareness lead and the community and inclusion team at BLVNZ. And I'm working on our school's awareness program. So going into schools and teaching primary and intermediate school kids about vision loss and building a network of clients across the country who can go in and deliver those workshops, and among other projects in that vein. And it's been, yeah, absolutely wonderful. And I'm excited that I don't need to leave. I get to stick around and keep doing this mahi, which I really, really enjoy. Is that all good, Sarah?
And again, question for you, the same one. If someone was wanting to do something along those lines and they are getting pushback, have you got anything additional to say to what Alex Rice said around, following your passion and
Be stubborn. Like, people will give up eventually on pushing you back, and they'll just go with what you want if they see that you're not listening to them. And yeah, standing up to them and being stubborn, they'll eventually give up and you'll get your way. So be stubborn.
great. And I think the other thing to remember, whether it's about choosing what you want to study or what you want to do as a career or traveling or whatever, we will often face the same experiences that people are actually well-meaning, but actually we as blind, low vision individuals know what our limitations are. And I think it's really important to just back yourself. And whatever it is, whether it's study or employment or travel or anything, or cooking a recipe, just back yourself and you're not going to put yourself in danger's way. But also, let's not forget that every single day there are advancements with digital AI tech. So jobs that might have been more and more difficult and challenging a few years ago are becoming more and more mainstream for our community. Great.
I think
Okay.
it's really important to engage AI. That's my other message I really want to put out there. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I think
Thank you,
it's.
Alex. Alex has been on a crusade to get me sorted on AI, so she just needed to flag that for us. Thank you, Alex. Okay. And Ray, lucky last, over to you.
Kia ora, everybody. My name's Ray, and so my kind of vision loss journey, I was born with my eye condition. So has been a lifelong thing for me. I went and did my undergrad in writing and film at Auckland University. I've always really enjoyed reading and books and just storytelling in general. So that was a really good path for me. And then I got a really good tax refund 1 year. And it was the same price as a ticket to the UK. So I thought, may as well go and do an OE. Spent 5 years over there doing childcare and pub work, very Kiwi, typical kind of OE experience. And then came back to do a graduate diploma in publishing. And so I spent last year doing that. It was really, really interesting. I took some manuscripts and turned them into real books that got sold in bookstores and things. So that was really rewarding and really cool. And then I was looking for jobs and the graduate internship program came up and I just thought it was such a cool opportunity. I really wanted to re-engage with BLVNZ and the kind of blind low vision community because I hadn't had that in the UK. And yeah, I was lucky enough to get the job. And so I'd been working in the comms and marketing team, communications and marketing, where I've been helping with newsletters. I've done a lot of proofreading, which is something I'm really passionate about. I have been doing some social media stuff. I've been working on like different programs, so like Priority Matrix and SEMrush and MailChimp, all these really good skills that are good for a range of different projects. I am going to be doing my almost 3 month placement with Hachette New Zealand, which is a global publisher. And there I'll be helping out with their social media team and their marketing, kind of helping out with extra tasks over there, getting some more experience. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Ray. Looking
forward to it.
And any additional things of advice, wisdom for, you know, people thinking about what they're going to study or even applying for an internship here, because we will have another round of internships coming up. Probably applications will start to open around about September. So any thoughts on that?
I think definitely have more confidence in yourself than you think you should. I personally struggle with confidence sometimes, and I think just having that fake it till you make it, really going for opportunities, even if you think, oh, I might not get that, if you go for it anyway, there's a chance you will get it, but there's no chance if you don't go for it. So, yeah, just do your best to go for opportunities that come up.
Great. I think that's so true. It's, you know, if you don't try, you know, 100%, you're not going to get it. But if you do put your hand up and give it a go, and even if you don't necessarily, get first or second or 10th opportunity, every time you do it, and it's sometimes hard to stay positive, but every time you do it, you're just going to learn a little bit extra from that experience, from that application. And of course, always, always, always the Work Ready team are here for any kind of support or advice, whether it's, you know, applying for that job, writing that cover letter, though your best friend right now, as long as you don't do it verbatim, is ChatGPT. Get rid of the hyphens and the various other little giveaways that they have. Okay.
Can I say something else, Sarah?
You may, Alex.
In saying that, I've then forgotten what I want to say. I'll come back to you, but there was something else.
Was that Alex? Sorry.
I can't remember. I'll come back to you in a second. I asked you and then I forgot.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Okay, we have got a message in the chat, which
David. It's David Cullen here, everyone. There's a message from Anna Stevens, RTV, in the chat that she's just asked us to read out loud, which is, hi, everyone. Could someone please read this out loud to the group as I'm in a busy and loud cafe? Oh, good call. Use the chat technology. I'm a resource teacher vision at Blends. Great school. Great school. I'll give Blends a big plug here. With a history of eye surgery as a child, I have an adult daughter who has optic nerve atrophy and nystagmus. Did I say that right? Caused by a cardiac arrest when she was a baby. I'm here today to find out more about what is available for my students, Blends students, who want to pursue further study and work after they leave school. It's a very inspirational Zoom. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and advice. And I should just say that James has given that a love heart.
Cool. Thanks, Anna, and I hope you're having a nice warm coffee. So, look, the employment services, so it's the Employment and Career Pathway Services. So we are here to help with that segue between Blends and BLVNZ. it's not a perfect science because there is obviously that transitional period of that kind of like 3 to 6 months before the student kind of steps away from the educational system into kind of like what we term life after school. So that might be work, it might be study, or it might be community. And so the first thing really is for that individual, the young person, to make contact with us, or their RTB can do it, to get a meeting with their PSP, so who is allocated as their PSP, which is their primary support person or CAVES manager with BLVNZ. They will then go through a whole kind of process, which is called COBM. So it's basically identifying what are their top priorities and their goals. And that could be all sorts of different things. It might be mobility. It might be some, it might be technology. There might be some daily living skills. There might be advice around study, and there might be accessible services. There's all sorts of different things. So we have about, we have around about, I think, 11 different services available. So really, their first step is actually engaging with their PSP to then triage what do they want to do and how do we get there to achieve them. And if employment and study is their top priority, then they would engage with me and we would go through the process of doing that, and we have a whole lot of resources there to support.
I remembered what I wanted to say.
Yes.
It was that, it was pretty much on that. I was just going to say, like, as somebody who didn't engage with BLVNZ that much, and I think I've talked to the others as well, and we kind of are all, as Ray said, re-engaging, I can't stress that if people have something they're struggling with, ask BLVNZ, just pick up the phone and see what services there are, because you'll be surprised the ways that the support that can be offered, if it's in, like, just a bit of confidence in daily living gives you more confidence to go out and chase work or employment. So it doesn't have to be, you know, in this transitional, you know, work employment space, but anything, you know, if you're finding cooking slightly harder than you should, or if you're wondering what apps and AI and what other things there are out there, or if you're struggling a little bit more than you think you should with technology, just ask, because being connected with those things that allow you to thrive is going to make such a huge difference, and it's not worth battling on your own. Yeah, I wish I'd engaged and made more use of the services. And now that I'm aware, I can't advocate enough. So,
and yeah, I'd like to reiterate that. I mean, I'm a lot older than the three interns here, but I was, you know, as a teenager, I was at mainstream high school. I just wanted to blend in. I didn't want to have a cane. It actually took me till I was 50 to get a cane. So that's really bad. But anyway, so the way that often people do feel that they just want to pretend that they can see and can work it out themselves, it's absolutely normal. It's not, you know, that's a total normal reaction. But as Alex said, actually, do you know what? For me personally, when I actually did start using my cane, people knew that there was something going on with me. They were just confused and they didn't know how to help. But now, you know what? If I can't, if I'm struggling to get down some stairs or find something in a shop, now. And so it was about me getting over myself and not being embarrassed and not apologizing for not being able to see. So what it does do is we have a whole wealth of experience and knowledge, resilience, problem solving that we bring to our life every day, and we take it for granted. We often focus on what we can't do because that's our default. I can't drive, you know, I can't see a computer screen very well, I can't, you know, see when the, you know, when the meat's ready because I, you know, whatever. But actually, there's all this other stuff that we just do naturally, and we underestimate the importance of the fact that we are resilient and that we have to problem solve and work things out for ourselves. And maybe it's not always the most straightforward way of doing it, but it doesn't actually matter because, you know, all of us here, whilst we might all have the common factor of sight loss, our journeys are still different. Right, any other questions, or Neve or Ray, anything else to add to kind of what we're talking about?
Not really. I'm pretty happy. I feel like we've gotten a lot of good advice out of this.
Oh. Anna, was there anything else you wanted to add to that question that you had in the chat?
Anna's video's on now,
but
may not be able to hear us if it's noisy there.
No other questions? Okay, well look, I'd like to say good luck to all of our amazing interns. So this is our second year. As I said, we have a third year. For anyone who is looking into this, whether this year or in the future, keep an eye out. One of the things I would say, and Anna, this is probably quite useful for you to know as well, what I have realised recently with my job is one of the reasons why a lot of Blend students don't really know what we offer is because we have a lot of really outdated contact details for our clients, and probably when they first engaged, maybe they didn't get our newsletters. So there's a whole lot of stuff that we can offer, but we are going to be working on a project to start updating details for our clients who are between the ages of 16 and 21, so we can start to get them involved in what we do offer, even things like funding. So we do offer funding towards school, towards university fees, tertiary, through Oppenheim, and all sorts of different things. So I think once we start to get that project rolling and more up-to-date information, and whether it's the parents or the student or the parents and students starting to get more regular updates and correspondence for us, I'm hoping that that will also improve the flow of communication and understanding of just what services we do have.
Sarah,
so, what's that?
One more thing, I think, if there are students, I don't know if there are students present, but one thing I think is really important to know, and what I wish I had known, is like the processing of what you're going through is, yeah, as you said, normal, and a bit of grief and tough times around that is normal, because sometimes it's hard to push through when you feel like that's always going to be there. And I wish I'd known that, even though, like, as I lost more sight, I got better adapted to my technology and better aligned with what my passions and stuff, like it switched my focus, and I'm so much happier now, and so much more efficient as well, completely blind than I was as I was losing my vision and when I had full sight. So like, it does get easier the more you learn and the more you adapt, and it that the acceptance and things makes things a lot easier too. And I think that's important to note, because it can be quite heavy, especially when you're at that transition age, to go, what do I want to do? And I don't really have the confidence. I can't see how this can work. I can't see it's going to get better. What's the point? And it does get better, so it's worth pushing through those harder years.
Thanks, Alex. And also the other thing that's really exciting, Alex has just been matched with a guide dog too.
Yes, I have, Peggy.
A little guide dog. So that's another service that we offer as well. Great. Okay, well, look, thank you, everybody. Next month, our webinar is going to be held on Tuesday, the 12th of August at 10 p.m, usual time, usual back channel, usual link. And we've got WorkBridge coming in. WorkBridge are the main supported employment agency for disabled people in New Zealand. They work across all regions, all sectors, at all levels. And they also offer training, and so they're really the professionals when it comes to actually matching clients with disabilities into employment. So tune into that. This will be uploaded onto our website in the next day or so, and the link will be there for next month as well. Stay warm, everybody, and thanks again to Alex, Neve, and Ray, and all the very best for your future endeavours, people.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.